So 25 more years from now, we will do this again. Yeah, we're going to, all of us, I don't care how old you are in here, you're going to do this 25 years from today. I think I'll just stand here today. Now, I'm not going to, don't hold me to it, but I think I'm just going to stand here today. We need to, here's what's so funny, us guys that are pastors, preachers, evangelists, whatever you want to call them, I think what happens sometimes is we do messages, and then it's a good message, and we know it's a good message, and people get it, and then we move on. But I'm just practical enough, not that I'm your daddy, but I sometimes I feel like that's the case. I think today that we need to revisit, if you will. We need to marinate. It's one of my favorite words. Is Michael Grubbs here? He loves that word. He's not here. Yeah, he's like, man, I love it when you say that. Well, you know what marinating is, right? There's nothing worse than food that should have been marinated, and it just, you know, you cook it quick and throw it on the plate, and everybody acts like they like it, and they don't. And, you know, but when you marinate something, it's just really tasty, like your chicken last week. I told 100 people, I said, dude, it's just chicken, but how does he do this? I don't get how you do that to chicken. But anyway, you marinated and you took time with it and you smoked it and you did all this stuff to it. Anyway, good chicken. I have a chicken graveyard in my belly, thanks to you, Edward. Just so you know. Here's what I want us to really hone in on today. In fact, I'm actually going to revisit one particular thing I spoke a couple weeks back, because it's one thing to listen, and here's the truth, and I really sense this is very true. It's time that we believers put feet to what we believe, and especially those of you who are in this church congregation, because you understand the depth of the love that God has for you. You understand that you are righteous in Jesus and not yourself. You're beginning to understand this. A whole lot of other people don't understand this. It just drives me crazy sometimes, because I do different scenarios and different scenes with the fire department, and inevitably somebody will die, and they'll all be concerned about, you know, well, I don't know if they were right with God. They, you know, they didn't go to church. Really? They weren't baptized. Okay. They weren't, you know, and so we the religious, have put this heaviness on it, but you guys understand it's all about Jesus. You do. But here's what I want you to see today, and this might be just for you younger bucks, but it's for us older folks too, if you're involved, and that is this. This is what I came to grips with this week. Social media has become a way of life. And in the beginning, I used to curse it to myself. You know, like, man, you know, what happened? And this is me. What happened to, you know, face honest? It's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, this is where we are as a nation, and as a global world. Social media has become a way of life. Therefore, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that is one avenue that we've never had in the past that we need to begin to use. And here's what I love about it, yet I don't like about it, yet I love about it because of who I am. And what I mean, well, let me just say what I was going to say. Social media exposes who we really are. It really does. And in all honesty, I think that's a positive thing. If we'll just hang back and listen. Here's what's so funny to me. I want to hammer people with love. I really do. I want to do this Jesus thing. But with that understanding, I want to talk just however long it goes. I won't say how long. Last week I blew it because I said 15 and it went 30. So I'm not even going to go there. But I will say I'm concluding about 12 times, so y'all will perk back up. Let's look at the scripture. By the way, before this scripture, what had happened, and we touched on this a couple weeks ago, the Pharisees were offended because Jesus didn't have his disciples wash their hands before they ate. Now, that is so silly to us, but it's not silly to religious people. We could put it into our day. We could really put it into our day instead of saying they were offended because they didn't wash their hands. You could say offended because somebody smoked the cigarette in front of me going into church or whatever. You can pick whatever you want. Jesus knew the better part of life. Obviously, he's Jesus. Do you hear me? And we need to put feet to who Jesus is. And again, the only way that you are going to be able to give the love that Jesus gives is by receiving the love that he has. His love is agape love. That means that word literally is his love for all people. It doesn't mean his justifying what other people do. That's where we've got this thing all wrong. Do you see it? And this whole understanding, we're just in this area in our life where we've got to get to the point that we understand social media is a real part of our expression to other people. And as weird as that is for me to say, because look, guys, we don't have to go knock on doors anymore. You know, there was an old evangelism explosion, and the whole training was to go door to door knocking on people's doors. And I'm not saying not to do that. What I'm saying is there is a whole avenue here, and I want to catch it while we're early in it and use it, if you will, to proclaim the love of Christ. And one of the biggest things that happened this week, that if those of you who are on social media understand, the way that, and let's just talk about church, the way the church killed Joel Osteen. The church was offended by Joel Osteen. And let's do this. So here's Jesus after they were offended because the disciples didn't wash their hands because it broke a tradition of the church. This is what Jesus says. It says, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear him. He said, listen. And he said, try and understand. In some of the other versions, it'll say basically hear and hear. What he's saying is not only hear, but understand what I'm saying. How many of us understand that with our own children? I heard you, Dad. Yeah, but you didn't do what I said, so did you hear me? Of course, I never was a child like that. I was perfect. Verse 11, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles koa'ina, you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth and your fingers on your phones and typewriters and wherever else. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended? Scandalazo. Now, you understand, you're looking at that as a scandal thing. I'll show you what that means here. Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Do you realize that I am probably going to offend you if you've got a religious bone in your body today? It's the truth. But I've reached the point where I offend people anyway. I might as well offend you, right? No, man, it's so funny. Here, let me tell you what that word means, the word for defiles. Watch this. It means abusive, nasty, vulgar, contaminated, infected, carnal, perverted, corrupt, and now watch this, and declared unfavored with no benefit. So what Jesus is saying is the food that you eat isn't abusive and nasty. Now, if you overeat it, I get it. Abusive, nasty, vulgar, contaminated, infected. This is not what he's talking about. He's saying what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. It's what abuses you. It's what makes you nasty. It's what's vulgar about you. It's what contaminates you. It's what infects you. It's what makes you carnal. It's what perverts you. It's what corrupts you. It's what makes you declared to be unfavored and have no benefit. Wow. And then I love the word for offended. It's the word scandalazo. It's a great word. In fact, if you've ever seen you used to watch Porky Pig and all that when everybody's trying to catch animals and stuff, and they'd put the little stick up like this and put the box like this, and then the thing would run in and they'd pull the stick. Or I'm going to show you how old I am. I used to actually make those things when I was a child trying to catch stuff. And you know, you're a child and you're not very patient, so you put the little box up, you put a little stick on it, run the string back, and you sit there for about 1.5 minutes and nothing is coming underneath it. And you put some little tasty treat in there to catch it. The word offense is not the tasty treat you put in, nor is it the box. The word offense is that stick that holds up Yep. It's not the trap itself, it's the stick that holds up the trap. And the only way that comes down is if we pull it. You know, and do you remember when Jesus... See, this is another thing. I get it now. Now that I guess we're towards the end times of life because I'm starting to get this stuff. When Jesus said in the last days, I mean, he shares this whole thing and he says in the last days, people are going to be really offended. And I'm like, that is... When I was younger, I'm like, that's just weird, but holy smoke. But I didn't know what the word meant either. Here's what the word means. To cause one to judge critically without evidence, to see in someone else what I disapprove of. You will know you're offended when you critically judge others without basis, cause, or evidence. I.e., I go back to John Osteen. Some people, he gets on their nerve. You know, well, he's just so soft-spoken. He doesn't use the word in there. Yang, 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 yang. They're offended. Do you hear me? That's what the Pharisees were constantly offended with Jesus. And why were they offended? Because they saw something in him they didn't like that about themselves, and that was he was doing something and they weren't. Well, he's got that big old home. He should open it up. Did you open your home up for anybody? Now y'all are going, God, what did I type? What did I say? You probably should unfriend me this week, yeah? If you're my friend, you probably should just unfriend me. I'm not being love police, stalker, but holy smoke, at what point in time do we really be Jesus? At what point in time do we change our mind concerning who he is? Now, let me finish this. So, you know you're offended when you critically judge others without basis, cause, or evidence, and watch this, you'll know you're offended when you see in someone else what you disapprove of, including what you disapprove of in you. I think one of the greatest examples of that is back when you young puppies won't even remember this, you older folks will, but when Jim Baker did his whole Jessica Hahn thing, and everybody was up in arms, and I'll never forget it. And it's so ironic, but then I judged them afterwards anyway. So who am I? You get it? So Jimmy Swaggart was on television and proclaimed that Jim Baker was a cancer in the body of Christ. In the midst of his own scandal, which we didn't know about at the time. My point is, when we are offended by someone else, it's because a lot of times because it's something that we don't have John Osteen's big old house with swimming pool and all the pictures that it posted. Dude, he's got a nice house. I'd never even thought about looking at it. I just thought it was cool. Here's the truth too. You know, we're set up with the Red Cross and Salvation Army to be a shelter. And we sheltered people for Katrina, and we sheltered people for Rita. And we will shelter people for Harvey when they're ready to have us do so. We have been on top of it and been in contact with them, and until the other places fill up, they're not going to be filled up. It's no different. It's no different. It's just he's got a big church, and he reaches a lot of people, and a lot of people are offended. I have no problem with the world being offended. I have a major problem with us being offended. Watch, this is even stronger, because this is what the Lord showed me. Even if Joel Osteen did refuse to open, even if he put up a huge fence around the property and said nobody's welcome in here, that gives us no right. That really doesn't, guys. This is why I want to pause and marinate on this thing called loving others. And I'm going to show you what I believe is extremely clear in doing so. So I wrote this, and this is a little cutie I wrote. I said, we've got to stop posting and roasting and stop talking and start walking. Here's what I love too. Everybody, when you think of John the Baptist, right? Don't you think of, you know, the guy, well, he was weird. I mean, he had basically a jock strap on and ate bugs, you know. and was screaming, here's how we view him, repent for, you know, and you've heard me speak about metanoia, which is what the word repent is, which I'll get there in a second. But I want to show you something really powerful, what I believe is powerful. John started the process of this whole Jesus, grace, our lives need to change for the good, that type thing. See, because understand, under the law, it was, if you would just walk under the law perfectly, then you're good to go. Had really nothing to do with other people unless you killed them, then you were in trouble, and you know, get what I'm saying. But here John the Baptist comes along, all dressed in weird. If he would have just wore a cowboy hat, he would have been John the Southern Baptist. So, that was free right there. That just came right there. Watch this. This is good stuff right here. So when the crowds, this is great. When the crowds came to John for baptism, I'm going to stop. He's not, Jesus called the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, a brood of snakes. John just called everybody that. Just how cool was that? When the crowds came for John the Baptist, he said, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have, again, I don't want to pound this forever, but this is one of the biggest mistakes that has ever been made in the Bible, in my opinion, is the word repent is in the place of the word metanoia. I've explained it to you a million times. I don't want to explain it again today. It was by choice of people that they just took metanoia and said it means repent. There is nothing. The word repent is actually from a Latin word. And it does have to do with penance. There is nothing in the New Testament, every time you see the word repent, it is metanoia, and it literally means change of mind. It does not mean change of behavior. It does not mean going this way and making a complete turnaround. It means change of mind. Because listen to me very clearly. We will never change our behavior until we change our mind concerning this. Now, this is what he is saying. Now, watch this. He says, prove by the way that you live that you've changed your mind according to your sins. In other words, and then when we say sins, immediately we start looking inside. Okay, what I did, here's what sin means, is missing the mark. So if we could just do that with it, change your mind concerning where you're missing the mark. But watch, he's fixing to tell you how to change your mind concerning where you're missing the mark, where you're sinning. He's fixing to show us. And it has nothing to do with groveling, and it has nothing to do with us. It has all to do with other people. Watch, this is John the Baptist. Baptist John. Prove by the way that you live that you have changed your mind concerning the stupid stuff you do. That's Steve Benzant version. And turn to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe. I got my ticket to heaven. That's all I need. If that's all you want in life, so be it. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and it's abundant. And incorporated in that abundant life, yes, is the blessings from Him, but it's also the blessings of other people. Once we finally get from being self-conscious and we really start becoming Jesus-conscious, you're going to recognize that even when you try to go back to being self-conscious, you go from being Jesus-conscious to other people-conscious. It's awesome. And that's exactly what the gospel, the good news of Jesus is about. Understand how great He is, what He did for you, how much he cares for you, how much He loves you, and by goodness, try to share that with other people and quit stacking them up. And Jesus' problem was He made everybody on the same level. That's why they killed Him. That's why the Pharisees were offended they didn't wash their hands, because I am better than you, so you've got to wash your hands. And Jesus is saying, nope. Every time He did a miraculous thing, the people would say, and the people were amazed, and then there's a comma, and the next word is, and the Pharisees went to figure out a way to kill Him. I want you to be amazed. I don't want you to figure out how to kill me. Well, not me. I'm not Jesus. Trust me. Just trust me on that. So, here's what happens. Don't just say to each other, we're safe because we're descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, John says, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked, this is where it is, what do I do? He just said, repent of your sins. He just said, change your mind concerning how dumb you're doing life. Well, then what do I do?
What do I do? What do I do to be saved? What do I do? If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. This is John the Baptist. You brood of snakes? Oh, you want to know how to fix your life? You want to know how to be productive in life? I'm going to show you how. This is why he said, you need to repent. You need to start living your life. So you change your mind enough to where you understand that your error is you're not living life to the full degree that God wants. So if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even the corrupt tax collectors came up and says, teacher, what should I do? Okay, regular people came up. He's saying to give. Then the tax collectors come up. What do I do? He didn't say, thou shalt honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt. What did he say? Oh, you're corrupt. You're the corrupt tax collectors. What should we do? He said, well, collect no more taxes than the government requires. Treat people correctly. Treat people right. Don't judge people on what they're doing. Love them into the kingdom. We have got this so backwards. I don't know why anybody pickets anything. You picket an abortion clinic, nothing changes. People's modification of behavior, sure. But man, when you love people and they come to know Jesus, they want to stop doing other stuff. Not because you demand them, but because they fall in love with this guy that loves them so much. And there's just this natural process of going, man, I want to be like that. So he replied, collect no more taxes. Well, so then watch this. Here's some Roman soldiers hanging around. So I think now it's turned into a game for him. Well, what are we supposed to do, Mr. John the Baptist? We're going to cite you for indecent exposure. Look what he says. Don't extort money and quit making false accusations. I've never met John Osteen, have you? I've never sat down to dinner with him. I don't know the man's heart, do you? That's what Jesus meant when he said, quit trying to take the log out of your brother, or quit trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye when you got a log in your own. I haven't given a penny to the trouble in South Harvest. We've sent water and stuff, but we didn't have to pay for it because God's blessed us. I haven't given a penny. But yet I'm watching people screaming and yelling that this guy with all this money only gave so much.
Well, yeah. Well, I saw where Jerry Jones gave $1 million. Well, no, he didn't give $1 million. He pledged $1 million.
Okay, well, good for that. Did you know that we actually have to love Jerry Jones too? Really and truly. I mean, there's people I don't particularly want to love, but I have to love them. I think that's why Jesus said, man, pray for your enemies. Because when you pray for them, this softness happens, and then it kind of aggravates you because you don't want to be soft towards your enemies. Because there's something in our nature that feels like we're justifying behavior by loving people. I want you to grab that in your heart. You are not justifying behavior when you love somebody else. If you know, they're, you know, oh God, they drink so much. That doesn't justify their drinking when you love them. Do you hear me? Because it's true. And we all have our own little idiosyncrasies because, again, half the gospel is how bad we are. We're a bad people. But he's a good God. And honestly, you listen, it will set you free. Most of you that are on Facebook, I'm only on Facebook. I'm not on all the other thingy-doos. I try to, but it's like I can only do one. And to be honest with you, again, I'm telling you, it's a way of life. It used to really frustrate me. The last four deaths in our church, I found out on Facebook before they called the church. They called the church within 30 minutes, but it was posted on Facebook. It's become a way of our life. Do you hear me? I'm not bad. I used to bash it. I don't bash it anymore. It just is what it is. Just people who have babies. In fact, Pete, is he here? Good. I'll talk behind his back. When he had the second one, what's his name? Noah. When they had Noah, dude, there's a picture on Facebook, so I text him. Because I'm a texter. I said, dude, could you have at least texted me a picture before you put it on Facebook?
He's like, oh, man.
I was messing with him, but because I have finally at the point where I have accepted that, listen, raise your hand if you're 16 or younger right now. Anybody in here 16 or younger? Okay. You wish. You wish too. The reason I say that is, do you realize 16 and under, you weren't even alive when 911 happened, right? Okay, and I think Facebook, well, I think MySpace was the first one, but Facebook was the first one to take off. And I believe that was around 05 or something, 06. I didn't get on until 09, 07, whatever. My point is, there is a generation now that is being raised that's all they know. That's why their heads are buried in their phones and stuff. Do you hear what I'm saying? So instead of cursing the darkness, look, back in the day, watch this, please. Back when I was a child, it was television. And my granddad was a fiery preacher. I've told you stories about him. He was a kick in the pants, now to look back. Scared the soup out of me when it was, I mean, you get up, you have to go to the bathroom or something, he'd say, sit down, boy. So, you know, every pew in there was wet from where I would sit. Because I ain't moving, because he's telling me. But he used to call it hell-a-vision, right? And so we would, the ministers would smash television. Watch this. This is so tiring, but it's so true. It's not television's fault. It's not social media's fault. The truth is, we are a broken nature. It drives people crazy. Well, I said I was going to stay. I'll stay. It drives people crazy when the Apostle Paul says that the law is perfect and good.
Well, if Jesus smashed it to the cross, how can it?
Here's the problem. The law is perfect and good. People aren't. The law was given so that we could see that we're not all we think we are. And once we recognize that, we need a Savior. That's why Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and not abolish it. And then starts teaching harder than he's ever taught before, making it twice as hard to do. Because we have to recognize we need a Savior. Let me stay on point. So, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Ask some soldiers. Well, stop extorting money and make false accusations, and be happy with what you get paid. Oh, complainers of pay. Does that not... Here's what's so fun to me. I have to love those workers who want $20 an hour to work at McDonald's. I don't view those type of jobs, McDonald's jobs, as a career. You know what I'm saying? That's an after-school job and stuff. But, you know,
well, you're just old school.
Whatever. I'm not... I have to love them. Do you hear me? I think the word have to and love don't kind of match. I will allow myself to love others as much as I am receiving His divine love for me. And the cool thing is, I've got this little connection happening right now where I'm really believing how much He loves me, and now it's starting to kind of leak out into everybody else. Ed, you've got to love that plumber. Drives you crazy. You got to. And it's not, well, how can I? Don't charge you more than you want to. I'm picking on Ed today. All right, let me. Okay, so John the Baptist, let me say what I said concerning this. I want you to notice, even John pointed out, real life change is how we treat others. That's what he's saying there. If he would have been in pattern of the Old Testament, which, by the way, it was still Old Testament, like it or not, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still Old Testament, till Jesus was raised from the dead, did we kick into the New Covenant. Do you hear me? So he was already understanding it. That's why the Bible says that he was the predecessor of Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus. He got it instead of quoting the law, which he could have. John was a sharp guy, man. What do? This is what you do. You don't memorize the Ten Commandments, which nobody memorizes, by the way. You treat other people right. So he didn't say to follow the law perfectly. He said, change your behavior. Well, how do I change my behavior? By changing your mind. What do you mean change your mind? That's where the word repent. Why do you think, this is crazy, in the Bible where it says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, how can the way that what the word repentance means fit there? It's God's kindness that leads us
to grovel before Him. And
it's His kindness that leads us to mind change. Why? Because the mind changes when you recognize the goodness of God. How many times have I told you the story? In fact, I might even share this story last week about when his first experience with Peter, and Jesus went out and preached, and they went fishing, they didn't catch any fish, and Peter said, I don't want to fish no more, because Jesus told him to go fish, and Jesus said, just try it on their side. Try it on their side. Pull this ton of fish in, man. And Peter fell down on his knees and said, get away from me, I'm a horrible sinner. It wasn't because Jesus bashed him and said, you're going to burn in hell, son. It's because of the goodness of him. When Peter saw the how good Jesus was, he recognized, I can't be that good. But you can if you stay in him. So I've got to stay back on point, Steve Vincent. So we'll never change our behavior until we change our mind. So it's not just good enough to hear this. Now we have to put feet to it or type to it or whatever. I really try to do that in my own little way on Facebook. I have had, here's what's cool, I've had friends unfriend me just because I posted a scripture because they didn't like what it said. Well, I didn't write it. So remember, we talked about this story before where the Pharisees offended Jesus. They were offended. Here again, it's all about offense. They were offended because Jesus met Matthew and then went to eat with all his little IRS buddies. Tax collectors, that's sorry, IRS. Anyway, so the Bible says that the Pharisees were offended. I won't remind you what offense means. We'll just keep on point. And this is what happened. This is where Jesus said this. And I said this a couple weeks ago. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture that I want you to show Elias mercy and not offer sacrifices, Thusia. For I have come to call not those who think they're righteous. If you think you're righteous, you are on a bad track, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. You're on a bad track because the Bible is very clear. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do anything correctly. But Jesus said, I didn't come to call those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they're messed up. And then that's just a second. Stand by. Sorry. I want to remind you that Elias means that is a having an active mercy towards others. In other words, I want you to go show mercy. It's an active verb, mercy towards others, love, affection, kindness, compassion. I touched this all this other week. And Thusia means to bring a victim of sacrifice, kind of like what happened this week. John Osteen was our victim of sacrifice. And we laid him before God and said, God, he's so evil. It's time you do something. All right, let's do this. I read this 2 weeks ago. It fits more now than it did. So this is where we'll marinate right here. Let's take this real slow. But listen. Wait, I'm sorry. Back up to the scripture. Oh, no, that was a scripture. My bad. This is SVB. But listen. Pursue the knowledge of, understand, and put into practice this. We listen, we hear, we even understand, but this word that is incorporated in that word to do this, it incorporates putting into practice what the John Baptist John said. We need to change the way we live life. And this is what it is. Learn the meaning and put into practice this next thought. I delight and find pleasure in people who, with loving kindness and compassion, tenderly desire to help the hopeless, miserable, and afflicted. We're not to make people hopeless and afflicted and miserable. We're to help, and not those who provide me victims for sacrifice. This is so good right here, because I did not come down to earth to give my name. That jumped in me this week. Jesus is saying, I didn't come to earth to give my name. When you give your name, those of you who are married, you give your name the wife takes the name, or in some cases, the husband takes the wife's name. That is a powerful thing. That's saying, what I have is yours, yours is mine. So watch what Jesus says here. Because I didn't come to earth to give my name to those who think that they're honorable and faultless and guiltless. Isn't it weird? He didn't come to give it to them. Look who he came to give his name to. But to give it to those who know they're stained, rebellious, and wicked. Oh, so you want to marry me? The one who's stained and rebellious and wicked? You want to marry me? Yes, I do, because you recognize that you're stained and guilty. You're not sitting there trying to blow smoke up my skirt telling me that you're all that in a bag of chips. Don't you see how that works, man? It's crazy. Is that all of it, or is there more? I think there's more. Is that it? Okay. Good job fitting that on that screen, by the way. These guys have been having to try to work that. Okay, that was from a couple weeks back, and some of y'all probably don't even remember it. And that's okay. And then my next thing, and basically I'll say I'm concluding now, which I'm kind of not, but I'll just say that to 65% of you woke back up. So you have John the Baptist that started this process of change of life means change of attitude towards others. Not just,
man, I'm good, man, I love Jesus.
It's not about loving Jesus. It's about loving others with Jesus' love so that they can love others with Jesus' love. It's about multiplication, not addition. You hear it? And then, of course, Jesus, we just showed, pushed it a little bit further. But then the Apostle Paul kind of put some meat on the bones, and I will probably stay here for a while in this. I'm not going to call it a series. We need to get this into us, the Word. And which, by the way, just so you know, if the Word screams something, scream it. If the Word speaks softly, speak softly. But if the Word doesn't say anything about it, shut up. And man, there's a whole lot of people talking a bunch of shut up when the Word, and I'll show it. I'm just going to be in Romans right now. Where the Word screams how we're to love people. Watch this. Paul writing to Rome. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. I put doing life in parentheses because the truth is, when we do life, we run into stuff, do we not? Is there anybody in here that hasn't run into something? You get me? So that's what he's saying. He said, we can rejoice in that, which sounds like that's silly. Oh, you know, it's not fake stuff here. For we know that they help us develop what? Problems and trials help us develop endurance. They do. They do. That's why God put Gay and I in California for 10 years, because of traffic. He had to help me learn endurance. I mean, our day had to be planned out around traffic. True story. If we had to go to the bookstore, it was about 10 miles away, but if we didn't leave by 9:30 and then leave the bookstore by 11:15, we were stuck. I mean, everything. In fact, when we moved here, it was weird because we're like, okay, we need to go to the store. And immediately you're going, when to leave? And it's like, oh, you don't have to do that now. That's develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of hope. Verse 5 is where I'm headed. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, because we know how dearly God loves us. We're starting to get that here at this place. You're starting to understand it's all about His love for you, not your love for Him. I can't do His love very good, but His love is perfect for me. And we're starting to understand that. We're starting to receive it. But watch out. Well, there's a comma there for a reason. For we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. Every single one of us has the Holy Spirit. You know, not speaking in other tongues. Every single one of us. When you start believing in Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in you. Speaking in other tongues, the whole baptismal, that's a whole different thing. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. So he says, for we know how much God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love, agape, with His love, not only for ourselves, but for other people. I just find it really interesting. I've told you there's four words for love in the Greek, but there's only two of them that are used in the Bible. One of them's phileo, and one of them's agape. Very simple. Phileo is city of brotherly love, this earthly love, and then there's this heavenly love. And every time the Apostle Paul or Jesus spoke, when he would tell you to love your neighbor, he was saying agape, your neighbor. He wasn't saying phileo, and that's why Peter was so messed up when they had the breakfast and kept saying, Jesus would say, do you agape me, Peter? And Peter would say, well, I phileo you. And Jesus would say, no, do you agape me, Peter? Well, I phileo you. And then finally Jesus rubbed it in and said, oh, you phileo me, Peter? And that's when when Peter goes, well, Jesus, you know everything. We need to get to that Jesus, you know everything place in us. And I love that because there was such healing in that. That's a whole different thing. Where am I at here? Go ahead to whatever I got next. Same place. I mean, same. We're still in Romans. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. We always say, love the sinner and hate the sin, when the truth is we hate them all. The truth is really kind of opposite. We love the sin and we hate the people who do sin. You can hate what's wrong. I need to vet that word out, actually. But Jesus cleaned out the temple because he said, you know, the word says that this is a house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves. There's a simple separation of hating what... And I'm going to help you how I deal with it, and maybe it'll help you. I deal with it... Let's just do it this way. I deal with it by saying to myself, I hate the consequences of wrong or sin. Feel your word in there. And you know what I mean by that. When we make a mistake, when we err, I don't like the consequences of people who make wrong decisions because sometimes they're life-changing and sometimes they're life-killing. So really love that. He said, don't pretend to love others. And for years, I pretended, oh, Jesus loves me. This time. No, I'm going to love you, red and yellow, black and white, all the preachers in the sun. Man, it's so beyond that. And it's what's cool is you can really get there. Now, let's keep going. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. You guys honored Gay and I last week, and this scripture has been in me for a very long time. You took delight in doing it. It wasn't a burden to you. Now, my staff, it might have been a burden to you. No, they were just heavily involved in it, and I think everybody was glad it was over with. But I want you to understand, your heart can get to where you delight in honoring other folks rather than delight in their failure. And that's one of the curses, hear me, that's one of the curses of social media. Social media is an amazing animal because you can say you can make your own fake account, you can say anything you want to say and it's been in your heart to say. Remember what I just said a while ago? Because that's what happens. You know, how many guys I've seen where journalists got fired because they made a fake account and was just slamming whoever, and they found out it was their account and they got fired for it because they couldn't say it originally. But the truth is, it was in their heart to say. That's why I'm telling you, I like social media because of that, because it exposes the heart, not to expose the heart so that I can tell them how wrong they are, but to expose the heart where I know how to love. I want you to really understand that. My heart was broken this week reading some of the especially from those who say they're Jesus lovers or receive love of Jesus. I'm just telling you, and a couple weeks ago when I told you, the Pharisees were constantly talking opinion. Jesus constantly talked truth. Man, just speak truth. What's truth? Just put a favorite scripture on. That's truth. Anything in the word's truth. You can even mix it up if you want. Judas went and hanged himself. Go ye and do likewise. Send it to your friend.
It's in the Bible, dude.
Next. This is my second to last scripture, and I'll be done. Owe nothing to anybody. Does that include Chase Bank? This is how we do. You know what I'm saying? This is just how we do. And we can justify it by saying, well, you know, back in those days, they didn't have Chase Bank, and you know, whatever. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, I love this, watch this. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. Watch. For the commands say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. How does that sum it up? Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal his wife or steal his car or want what he has. You're not going to be throwing Joel Osteen under the bus because he's got a bigger house than you and a bigger ministry than you and a bigger church than you. And he talks real soft and he never quotes scripture. And God, Jesus said it. When the disciples, remember, the disciples came up to Jesus and said, man, there's this dude over here using your name to cast out demons. You want us to call fire down from heaven to kill him? That's what his disciples said to him. And you know what Jesus said? If he's casting out demons, he's using my name, leave him alone. He's on our side, not somebody else's. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to tell you something. Joel Osteen is not the devil. We devil is the Hasatan. Devil is the accuser. It's the devil in us that's making him.
Right.
Man, that is this old-fashioned hammer preaching. I'm going to hammer you to love people, Ronnie. I'm going to beat you with a pulp with the word to make you love people. Wish I had that when I was your age, mister. Look at verse 10. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of the law, of God's law. Why? Because again, all the thou shalt nots are incorporated in the thou shalt do's. And the one thou shalt do is love. And out of that love, you'll do life and it will be alive and you won't be so tied up and upset. I had a situation this week where someone was concerned that I was disappointed in them. And I said, I wrote about, and this is the gospel truth. I said, I'm not disappointing you at all. I don't live like that anymore. Because I really don't. You can't disappoint me. Your life might fall apart with the choices you make, but that you can't disappoint me. I can't let that happen. Because then I live my life with disappointment. You can't make me disillusioned, Ronnie, because I have no illusions about you. I just love you. If you do stupid, I'll love you till you're done doing stupid. You get it? It's really freeing. It will free you from this whole, you know what, if you can't lay your head down at night and go to sleep no matter what happened your day, this is how you do it. If it's constantly stirring, I had a pretty bad scene I had to deal with yesterday, but I just want you to know, I slept like a baby. And it's not because I'm this great guy, it's because God is this great God.
Amen.
It's because He holds me, He loves me, He pursues me, He lets me know even in the midst of my own stupidity, He still loves me. I posted this on Facebook. I have countless times given him every opportunity to stop loving me, and nothing has changed that. Love towards me, nothing has. He can't. He can't. He can't. He can't. Why do you say that, Steve? Because he is love. It's not that he has love. He is love. He is love. Did I finish that whole scripture? Okay. This is the last scripture. And we're going to continue on with this thing till we start getting it. And this is a good one. Still in Romans, barely made it down a couple chapters, and here's all these principles of life. This is everything that John the Baptist said and that Jesus said and Paul got light on. And I love the Apostle Paul because the way he received it, he was this wicked man that was gathering Christians to kill him. Jesus knocked him off his high horse and said, what are you doing, man? You're kicking against God. And he got it and he received it, and he received it so deeply he couldn't help but understand how much God loved him and Jesus loved him. And it spilled out, and he has this wonderful understanding of how to get this love thing in action. So here it is. Paul says, I know and I'm convinced on the authority of Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. Now the reason he said that is because, again, we go back to the law, and there was bad things you could eat. There were things that were unclean, was what the Bible says. And so this is absolutely rattling the cage of the believers at the time. Again, if you want to fast forward it, put in there whatever you want, smoking, drinking, cussing, whatever you want, throw it in there, because I want you to be offended by this. Okay? I know, and I'm convinced on the authority of Jesus, no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, drink, or smoke, you are not acting in love if you eat it. So don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat, what we drink, what we... but of a life, living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let's aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. If you go into another place, you go into Corinthians, Paul addresses this in a different way, and basically he exposes weaknesses of Christians who don't believe that Jesus loves them that much, and he shows that they're weaker, for lack of a better word, it's a different word, but that, because when we say weaker, we think less than, but anyway, they're not as strong. So he gives all these instructions about how all these things that were offensive, but then after he, like, it almost makes you feel proud that you're not like those weak believers, and then he says, but if you do something that offends them, you're messed up. What is that saying? We have to love people to the point that we don't want to offend them. And let me change the word offend to push the button. Everybody knows push the button. I've been married 41 years. I think I know every button I can push on my wife to you know, offend her, make her mad. And you've seen me even do it, like on Sunday mornings, like maybe even today I have just pushed a button knowing it would react. Here's how I know when I've pushed a button is because I'll say something, and before I can even turn to look at her, all y'all, so I don't even have to look no more. I'll say, and then I'll realize what I said, and all y'all look over to her, so I just kind of walk this way, you know, my little tail tucked. Sometimes I do it on purpose. All right, I think today's given you enough meat to chew on. My last thought, and I just wrote this. The Bible screams to love. Let's begin with social media. That was not my social media sermon, but we got a whole lot of hurting people, and we need to... we need to use that platform because some, in all honesty, that's a platform some people, that's the only thing they see. Some people find their whole value in that platform. Do you hear what I'm saying? And rather than saying, God, I can't believe you just, you know, I mean, when I'm reading stories where a 13-year-old committed suicide because they didn't get enough likes on something they posted, therein lies the problem. The problem is not social media. The problem is us. And we just need to learn to love people, even in that social media area. So I'm going to stalk your pages this week and make sure that everything you... Just kidding. Mm-hmm. I'm not on there, but to make sure nobody's died.
My love for God does not make me better than you. But His love for me makes you better than me. Mm. Because He wants me to prefer you. He wants me to look out for you. He wants me to believe for you. Whether I get that in return or not. That's what He wants from me. There's the saying that came out this week, and Steve's been alluding to that. But God is not going to ask me what anybody else is doing but me. When Steve used that scripture about everybody kept saying, what can I do? What should I do? You know, that's a legitimate question for humans. What should I do? What should I do? The Holy Spirit will help us and lead us and tell us what to do. I want to be honest with you. Sometimes we need to remove ourselves from a situation. That's just as valid as becoming involved. But only the Holy Spirit can tell us that. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're really struggling with what do I do, how do I make this work, and you just want the Holy Spirit to work in you, I'd like for you just to stand right now. If that's you, you're serious. I need the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. I need that intervention in my life. There's that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and just fill our atmosphere. Fill those places in my heart. God, it's your spirit that I'm longing for. That's why you're standing. You're saying, I'm longing for more of the Holy Spirit in my life. You are saying, God, there's something going on in me and I need help. Yes, Austin, we need him. If you need him, I want you just to come. I don't mind lingering with you at this altar, because this week I feel like that's what the Lord's been saying for me. Linger. Just linger. Stay a little longer than what you've been staying. Linger. There's a work I want to do in you. While you're soft and tender, linger. Let me speak to you and fill in those places. That's what he wants to do. Yesterday, Steve alluded to the fact that he had to go on a really bad call, and some of you saw it in the paper already in Haltom, where a little 9-year-old boy was playing with a gun and he killed himself yesterday by accident. That family's hurting today. Who will linger for that family today? Who will linger for the people who are hurting and they don't even know? Who will linger today and ask God to speak to my heart and show me places, God, where I can minister life? I'm asking you today to linger in his presence. Mike's going to sing a song for us, and while the Spirit of God is just moving, I just want us to linger in his presence, and let's let God do a work. And if you want to come down here and get prayed for, come on, we're going to pray for you. But if you're right where you are and you feel the Spirit moving, then just close your eyes and listen, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. Put your arm around someone you're standing beside. Pray for them right where they are. Let's believe God to do what he does. Amen.